91.3 KXCI Tucson, Real People, Real Radio. Hello, Tucson. Happy Sunday and welcome to 91.3 KXCI Tucson, where you find real people, real radio. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can hear more of our shows by going to our Broad Perspectives podcast page at kxci.org. And today, we have Amanda Freed with us, another one of those amazing Tucson women who do so much, I can't even sum it all up here. So I'm going to let Aspen tell us about her. Aspen?
I sure will. Amanda Freed is a licensed massage therapist, a registered yoga teacher, and a certified mindful and meditation instructor with over 30 years experience healing, presenting, and teaching nationally and internationally. She has studied with academic scholars, Native American tribes, and renowned yoga and meditation masters. A lover of brain science as well as esoteric studies, Amanda has spent thousands of hours in contemplative practice and taught simple meditation methods to hundreds of people internationally. Amanda's clients and students represent an extremely wide range of people, including collegiate, pro, and Olympic athletes, stroke and trauma brain injury survivors, and corporate clients and more. Welcome to our show, Amanda.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always fun to have a friend on the show. So let's first talk, Amanda, because we definitely gather information from all of our guests on how we got to reside in our fair city. So how did you end up in Tucson?
It was, I think, 94. I'm from New York, and I was still living in New York, and I had to get out of there. It was not a really great time in New York. My car had been broken into 5 times in 2 years, and I had one child, and it wasn't going to be economically sound for me to have another child there. I was married at the time, and my ex-husband was doing lymphatic therapy, and Tucson was one of the places we could go, and I had fallen in love with Sedona years prior, and I was like, let me come and be in Arizona. But I had no idea what Tucson was. And, you know, 30 years ago, Tucson was a little different than it is today.
Yes, it was. Well, you began your spiritual journey on the noisy streets of New York in the 1980s. Talk to us about finding peace amongst that kind of chaos.
And I talk about this a lot. It was kind of easier because as New Yorkers, we're not terrible, just so you know, but we tend to know how to isolate in chaos and to kind of keep ourselves okay in a lot of movement. So it was almost easier to do that. It's almost like I was born to be able to hyper-focus, sort of put a ring of protection around myself and really go within when I needed to.
You know, I was talking to somebody being from New York as well yesterday about the noise level in New York. They said, I couldn't live there because of the noise level. And I was thinking, I knew how to tune that out. I knew how to make that background noise not affect me. You know, I've been living in Tucson for 50 years now, or it will be this summer in July. And I'm not sure if I can go back to that noise level.
And try India. If you think New York is like that, try India. Sometimes, I don't know about you, Aspen, I need that noise level. That is life happening around me. That's the thing I teach about meditation. Life is going to happen around you. You are not going to be in a cone of silence. Yeah.
So I really want to know about your path to becoming a massage therapist and yoga instructor. How did you get started?
I was a hairdresser. From a really young age, I went to vocational school, wound up a hairdresser at 17 and 18 years old. And then as I began my own spiritual path, phasing out of that life into a more spiritual life, being a hairdresser, you're kind of working with people's, and I'm going to get weird here, you know, with their crown chakra and their energy anyway, and you're still in service and you're still loving people. But then I would put my hands on people and find exactly the spot that they were feeling tension or whatever they needed. So it was very natural progression for me to go into body work and then yoga and then the more subtle energies, the more subtle ways of working with people.
Okay, so how did you get to study with academic scholars and North American tribes and renowned masters? That sounds so exciting.
I come from a very, very materialistic, non-spiritual family, right? My mother, God bless her, wanted her ashes spread over Saks Fifth Avenue, no joke.
Sorry, but that's pretty funny.
And it may have happened. But I was on that spiritual path. So I was just looking for anything and everything. And I was brought up with no religion. And so everything was open to me. So I went on a kind of a vision quest with the Bear Tribe. And I brought my mom. Oh my goodness. It was a retreat. And she was great. And so I was with the Bear Tribe, kind of like a weekend thing, you know, that they do for people that don't really know about that stuff. And so I was always seeking. So Native American spirituality was interesting to me. And then when I met my meditation teacher, he had been a professor of theology. He looked at the spiritual in a very, very, very academic way. And that was Paul Mullah Ortega. And I studied with him for 5 years. And he was an academician. And I am an engineer brain. Even the yoga I teach is engineering. So that really appealed to me. Like I may be spiritual and kind of quote unquote woo-woo, and I'm a pragmatist. I like academia, and it was fascinating to me.
I know your goal is to demystify the processes of meditation and mindfulness to make them easily accessible. I was living life in the most unhealthy ways, and I feel like mindfulness and meditation is what saved my life and still saves my life on a daily basis. Do you feel that mindfulness and meditation is mysterious to people?
I don't, but I think that people think that. I think that people think you have to be a yogi, that you have to be spiritual, that you have to sit in a certain way. People say, I can't meditate, I can't sit cross-legged. I don't care where you sit. So my desire is to bring meditation to everybody, to the mainstream. And also people think, oh, I have to sit for hours and hours and hours. So that's what I mean by demystify it. It's not this big mystery. It's not only for a small amount of the population. Everybody can meditate.
Okay. You say the truth is that the more adversity one has to overcome, the stronger one's practice can become. So, with all the adversity in our world today, how do you help people quiet their mind?
Oh, this is my favorite, favorite, favorite question. And that's the other thing that people think about meditation, that it's their job to quiet their mind. It's not gonna happen. Your mind has one job, and that's to think. And if you sit down with the idea of meditation is about quieting your mind, that's where people feel like failures. So what we do and what I teach is that I'm not training my mind, I'm training my attention. My mind is going to do its mind thing. I'm going to let it. I'm just going to put my attention somewhere. And this is what my teachers say, somewhere more charming.
I like that. Somewhere more charming. So talk about how mindfulness and meditation works with yoga.
They're not separate. That's the thing. We in the West, because we like fast food and fast things and fast everything, and yoga is an eight-limbed practice. And the physical piece of yoga is the least of it. So we think yoga as exercise and physicality, but actually the whole intent was to bring us to meditation and mindfulness. So they're not separate. Yoga can be done if you never, ever, ever get on a mat, you can live in a yogic lifestyle. So meditation is kind of the point. You know, it's like reading a mystery and not reading the end of it. So we just get this little taste, this little smattering, but it's so rich, and it's such an incredible culture that it can be a lifestyle.
Do you work with people at all different levels? Can anybody do yoga?
So, to clarify, when you say, can anybody do yoga, meaning the physical piece or the whole
The
life
physical piece. I mean, if
practice?
you've had injuries or you
I
can't
can.
move in a certain way.
I can name drop. I probably won't get in trouble because we have a loving relationship. I worked with Gabby Giffords for 10 years. And so, if she's not a testament to that, everybody can practice. When we started, we worked on one side with her. You know, I've worked with stroke patients. So, the thing is, yes, if we take out of our minds that yoga is putting your foot behind your head, that yoga is some competitive practice
Or the
or
balance aspect, I think that is what keeps me from feeling like I can do it.
oh, interesting. So, oh, I love that. Yes. Well, I can't balance, so I can't do yoga. Is that the thought?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we have walls.
Oh, I always wondered why we had walls. You mean I can lean and I can hold on to things?
Well, isn't that also a metaphor for life, or meditation? It's like, I don't have to do this alone. I don't have to be perfect. That's yoga. That's the message. It's not standing on one foot. The message is self-love, self-compassion. What is the path there? How do I get there with this practice?
Okay. Every time I talk to a yoga instructor, they always talk me out of feeling like I can't do this. Maybe one day I'll believe it. I think it's an interesting concept, the idea of pop-up classes. And I know you're doing one, but talk to us what a pop-up class is.
So I've partnered with YogaPod, and because I'm a busy yogi and a busy teacher, I'm not doing regular classes anymore. What we're doing is kind of sometimes we'll call it a master series or a pop-up. It's like it doesn't happen all the time. It happens occasionally. And so I'm doing a couple at YogaPod. I did one for the new year, in the beginning of January. I'll do one in the end of March and then one again in April. So these are, sort of opportunities for people to pop in, get to practice with me. I'm not out there a lot. I'm not teaching consistently. So it's these opportunities for us to get together again and practice together.
My idea was that you were popping up on some street corner. I was hoping you'd pop up in my backyard. I would just wake up one morning and there you would be all set up to teach me from
If you
beginning
all call the police, Aspen, I will pop up in your
to.
backyard.
So talk to us about the specifics of the class, Embrace the Goddess Within.
To your point earlier, and I didn't want to get in too much into it, but it is a hard time for women. And it's a good time for women. And here's the thing. As a meditation teacher, people think I'm all sweetness and light, and I am. And I get that, and I believe in that, but I'm also about our personal power. And that we have to embrace that, and we have to take, people think as a yoga teacher, oh, you never get angry, you don't eat French fries. I eat French fries, I get angry. Like I'm human, and we have sort of squelched that power. So we also don't want to lose our softness because that's our power as well. Yoga is very much about the male deities, but also the female. Never do you have a male that doesn't show up with some female energy, the Shiva and the Shakti. So, as women, we can really embrace all of those sides. So, that's what the class will be about. And we'll work through some of the chakra energy and
And so
work.
women at all levels of skills for yoga can come to this class.
Here's the secret.
I want
And
the secret.
this is what they teach us as yoga teachers. Every class is an all levels class. You don't
Okay.
know who's going to show up. And as teachers, it's incumbent upon us to make everybody feel welcome and everybody feel supported. So, absolutely all levels.
All right. I may show up. Let's take a music break. And when we come back, I want to talk about your program, Absolute Freedom.
Okay.
And I just want to say, Amanda, that you have taken care of a lot of myths that I have that secretly, like I started with meditation, I was going to do it 1 minute a day because I couldn't get into this 20 minutes or an hour. It's not going to happen. And that changed my life. Started with a minute and it went on from there. And I'd be happy to hang on to walls myself. I'm so glad.
Yes.
Yeah, especially as an older crowd, we all have balance problems, you know?
And that's what we need to be working on, right? That's when doctors send me people. That's why they're sending people.
Right. Well, the song you have picked today is Roar by Katy Perry. And we're wondering, why did you choose this song?
I'm so glad you asked. And it's kind of what we were alluding to. Yes, we're soft, we're gentle, we're women, and we are incredibly powerful. And so many of us haven't found our voices and can't find our voices. And so it's time for us to roar.
Yes, Katy Perry certainly is finding her voice in this song. Katy is one of the best-selling music artists in history, having sold over 143 million units worldwide. Forbes ranked her as the world's highest-paid female musician in 2015 and 2018, and Billboard ranked her fourth on its greatest of all-time pop song artists list. Perry co-wrote the song Roar, and its lyrics center on standing up for yourself and self-empowerment. The song was nominated for Song of the Year and Best Pop Solo Performance at the 56th Annual Grammy Awards. Perry said she wrote the song after undergoing therapy, saying she was, and this is a quote, sick of keeping all these feelings inside and not speaking up for myself. So she wrote this song called Roar, which is very appropriate, and this is from her album Prison. Let's take a listen. KXEI Tucson, and we're returning to our interview with Amanda Fried.
I just have to say that I had somebody here yesterday helping me clean my house, and I had Roar on a loop, and we were just listening to it over and over and over again. It's very empowering. Gave me a lot of energy. Your name is Amanda Fried, and it certainly works with your program, Absolute Freedom. Talk to us about how you guide people on a journey of self-discovery.
Full transparency, my maiden name was Fried, F-R-I-E-D. To me, yoga offers absolute freedom, that we are really bound in our lives and tend to be by society, by family, but that I really truly believe that yoga offers absolute freedom within. Absolute freedom isn't necessarily a program. It's just, to me, what yoga, mindfulness, meditation truly offer.
Okay, so you have a coaching program called Primordial Power Coaching. Tell us how this program is set up and what do you do there?
That's my love. That's my reason for being in this moment. Nobody is born powerless. I know the day that I gave away my power. I know what happened in my life. I can tell you the exact day that I went, all right, I'm powerless and I'm just going to give it over and I'm going to get quiet and I'm going to get small and I'm going to shut my mouth. And so I lived, you know, over 40, 50 years in that way, handing over my power and really not feeling powerful. And so I thought, well, if I can do it and then reclaim that power, I went back to that day and I went back to the idea that I was actually right on that day. But because I was a child and couldn't stand up in that way, I couldn't direct my life in a powerful way. So I went back, you know, emotionally to that day and kind of shifted the script. And so that's what I do with people. So first I take them on a meditation journey and then we can work together for 3 or 6 months privately. Sometimes people go further and do a year. So I make sure they have a good meditation practice. I do a soul reading. We work through all that mindfulness and meditation. And at that point we can go figure out that time when they lost their power and kind of track it back to how to live through that power that they once had.
Okay, that sounds amazing. What is radical freedom in your words?
I'm coming up with something new every single day.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't maybe realize that, yes, it's important to have those connections, but radical freedom is when I don't need to grab onto anything.
Not even the walls.
Eventually, maybe not. We
okay.
start with a wall. That's the trick. We start with a wall.
Okay. You know, I read that you reset the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is a crucial part of the parasympathetic nervous system, and it's responsible for calming and relaxing the body. How do you reset the vagus nerve, and why do we need to do that?
Oh, so my cute, cute name for my course that I teach on the vagus nerve is called What Happens in Vegas. The vagus nerve, really quickly, here's the sciencey, geeky piece, is that it innervates first the facial muscles and then through the throat and then down through the digestive and the breathing organs. So what happens is when we have trauma, when we have experiences in life that may be unpleasant, that energy actually stays within that parasympathetic nervous system. So literally what happens in the vagus nerve stays there. And so can be digestive problems, breathing problems, problems expressing ourselves. And so there are physical yoga moves that you can do to reset the vagus nerve. So I teach that in course, in classes. There's also breathing exercises. There's also sort of affirmations. Stephen Porges, who is one of the biggest vagus nerve researchers, and I loved that he said this, that yoga is actually an ancient system of resetting the vagus nerve.
Okay, that was new to me. Interesting. I think so many women suffer from self-image and self-love problems, and I know we've touched on that. And you talk about teaching self-love. How do you teach self-love? Do you do that in a class?
I was so lucky for so many years. I taught at the core at La Encantada, and it was an offshoot of TMC, but they were really about health and wellness. And I got to teach so many amazing classes. I taught the art of saying no. I taught the art of self-compassion. And I think I really so glad you asked me this question because self-compassion is where I truly believe we fix the world. If I can finally be compassionate with myself, I can be compassionate with other people. If you're judgmental and you're harsh, you are with yourself and you are inside with other people. And so we dial it back to just languaging. No, you don't get to talk badly about yourself in front of me. And not, I'm going to be happy when. I'll be happy when I lose 30 pounds. I'll feel better when I get my hair done. No, we teach a reframing of that, even in my intention workshops. No, not I'm going to go on a diet and lose weight. I love my body. I take care of myself exactly as it is. So it's kind of a reprogramming in a
It's
way.
like positive affirmations. It's also getting you to be mindful about what you're thinking. What am I saying to myself? You know, you have the power to say it differently.
For me, a lot of that came from Marianne Williamson. Self-talk, get up in the morning. What do you want to do today, sweetheart?
Are you still speaking and presenting your programs like The Art of Saying No and Self-Compassion?
I do what, I'll work with companies, I'll do in services and things like that. I'm so sad about the core closing. I don't get enough opportunity, but whenever I get an opportunity, I always joke, I've got 100 key point presentations. I love it. I didn't think I would like to be at the core. I figured it was too mainstream. They would think I was weird. We had full rooms every single time. It was amazing. So, yes. And I get to teach in Costa Rica this summer with Anne Lamott and Neil Allen again.
Right. I know you did that before.
I did it 2 years ago.
2 years.
Annie didn't travel last year. She was on her book tour and didn't feel like traveling like that. But yeah, that's the highlight of my life, those deals. Yeah.
Do you have a website where we can go to and look up what you're up to and what's coming up for you in the future?
I do. It's af-yoga.com.
Okay. I know you're ch kind of changing your direction and what you're doing professionally. Where do you see yourself going towards? What's your goal?
I've been doing still and again a lot of body work, and I'm really phasing that out. And my goal is lofty. I want to save the world through meditation and yoga and just more of the same, especially now. I'm so grateful for the activists. I'm so grateful for the people in the street, but we need to change our internal condition
Okay, and I so agree with that.
and be okay when things are not okay. And so that's where I see myself. How do I help people be okay when things are not okay?
Okay, so, I mean, in order to change the world, the only thing we can do is change ourselves.
Absolutely.
Oh, it was such a pleasure to have you on today. There's so much more we could have talked about. Just quickly, though, can somebody just show up to your pop-up class, or do they have to register in advance?
Thank you for asking that. Because YogaPod has limited space, please, please, please register in advance.
Okay, shall do. Thank you so much, Amanda, for being on the show today.
I'm so honored that the women that you've had on here, and then I'm here. I'm like, what? How am I in that group? So I'm flattered. I'm honored. I'm humbled.
Thank you.
Well, we are honored and humbled to have you here today, Amanda. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today, but I have to put in one request. When you see Anne Lamott this summer, could you please convince her to come to Tucson? It would be so awesome to hear her speak. We
Kathy,
all.
come to Costa Rica.
Oh, that's an even better idea. I like that. I'll see if I can arrange that.
I would love to go. Let's go.
Come
Okay.
to Costa Rica. Done.
We're going.
Done. Done.
Okay. Amanda Freed, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today about all the many things you do to help people improve their lives. And if you can get us to relax during these times, you have made a miracle of Tucson. Okay. And thanks to all of you out there for joining us today. This is Kathy Harris and Aspen Green, and you're listening to Broad Perspectives Radio. You can hear more of our programs at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives Radio page. For right now, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.